What's goody, y'all? You guys know who it is. Ringside Rave. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and let's get into this podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is your host, Maul, and I'm joined by my man, News, Smoke, Pat, and P, and this is episode 13 of the Fade Hour. Just chilling, drinking a Lagunitas brown sugar. I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to my dog, News. He can introduce himself if he's smoking or drinking on something. And then we're going to go ahead and kick around the room and get into this Usyk and Belu. And, you know, also Hers definitely said he's going to be ringside for Charlo and Harrison and maybe get a call out. And again, and we'll just freestyle some other topics as well, man. So again, let me go ahead and step aside and let the cast of my brothers introduce themselves.
What up, y'all? This your boy News, representing that ringside rave all day. I know what it is with me, man. Hey, today I got a migraine, so your boy ain't turned as he usually be, but you know, I'm still here like a soldier. I got the gelato by my side, my trusty sidekick. I'm actually on the streak with it right now.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Smoke, Free Smoke Boxing, Ringside Rave. I got that headband times Death Star and that Juicy Banger 26, which is like 8.2% alcohol. Holla.
Yeah, what's good, Joe? It's Pat Scorpion, the New England representative. And as always, I got my wine on me. This time, I don't know what it is, but it's wine. You know what I'm saying? So as long as it's red, you know, tastes good, and, you know, makes me talk funny and shit like that, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying?
What's good? It's your boy, Pete, repping ringside, rave, bodega boxing, and I'm just drinking water. That's all.
Oh, man. We need to find some way of getting, you know, a nip. Pete, start bringing nips.
Edibles.
I'm with them, though. Yeah. You know what? I'm drinking water right now. While I'm doing this show to get there for my migraine, so I'm with you, P. Got me a nice glass. I said glass, a nice plastic bottle of water in my hand. I'm doing the show so this migraine can go away, so I can turn up by the end of the show.
Bet, man. And before we even get into it, shout out to our boy Rez out there. You can follow him on Twitter, Reservoir Dogs 93. You know, he's a member of the cast too. So
International Rez.
Definitely, man. So everybody, let's go ahead and jump right into this cruiserweight. All the belts on the line, correct?
All the belts on the line.
Yeah, man. We got newly crowned, unified Alexander Usyk going to be jumping out there with Mr. Tony out there, Belu.
But for the American fans who are not familiar, it's Pretty Ricky Conley.
I was trying to think of his name, man. Right. Yeah, Pretty Ricky is what they call him. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The white dude in Creed.
Yeah, man. You know, we all seen the chatter going along online about what Belu might have to do to win if he can land on Usyk's chin. You know, and Usyk might go down. People might say Usyk might be the punch output. But instead of me chatting about it, let me go ahead and start with P and get his opinions on how you see this fight playing out. What does Usyk have to win? What does Belu have to win? You know, all that. Just get into it, man.
Usyk versus Belu. Honestly, I got to favor Usyk just because, as far as both of them skills go, I think Usyk is the more skilled, and I think he's going to show the skill. We can argue about, you know, Belu's fast and he's resilient, but I think when it just comes down to it, I just think we're going to see Usyk is just on another level skills-wise. Maybe the only way I can see Belu winning is, of course, you know, puncher's chance. But I don't think Usyk is going to give him that chance, that puncher chance. So I see just Usyk being Usyk, and that's just being skilled on another level. So that's the way I look at it.
What about you, Pat?
Yeah, Usyk and Pretty Ricky. Hey, I'm representing his name, Creed. I didn't say the man was pretty himself. That was unworthy, okay? Yeah, Pretty Ricky has had quite a streak of luck since he got casted in that damn movie. you know, you get again knocked out by fucking Michael B. Jordan and shit. All of a sudden, this motherfucker levels up, you know, wins titles, knocks out David Haye twice, you know, all this shit is crazy. You know, so that the reason to speak of is the reason why I'm thinking he has a chance. I'm not saying he's going to win this fight, but he has a chance. And it looks like in all the videos that I've seen of him, like he's actually got his weight down. I mean, these motherfuckers out here putting the treadmill to 15 and shit, running like a damn hamster on the wheel, sweating, not eating candy. So, you know, he may actually be pretty competitive, but Usyk is Usyk right now. I mean, that's the man at cruiserweight, you know. You know, I feel, you know, that's how I feel. Usyk feels and I feel that way, you know what I'm saying? The motherfucker, you know, he holds all the belts, he's the ring, he's lineal, all that shit, and he's fought the competition. So, like, 60-40 chance, I think Usyk will show his skills. Like I said, outbox him. Now, I don't think Usyk is the stronger puncher, but he definitely has, like, the stamina, and he definitely has the work rate and the movement to make Bayou, you know, to make Bayou, you know, to give Bayou some trouble. Uh-huh. But Bayou does have the power. He does have, I mean, he doesn't look it because, you know, he's not necessarily a built guy. Pause. You know, but he can punch. So he always has the puncher's chance. You can never count him out. You just never know. So, but I am leaning towards Usyk probably winning a 116-112 decision.
Yo, so I don't gamble at all, and I would put mad money on Usyk. I think he's going to outbox Bellew, however you say it, relatively easily. And Bellew does have a puncher's chance, but with all those weight games that he's been playing, I mean, Usyk's not a heavy puncher, but he's still a cruiserweight that can punch. So he might have a chance of getting him out of there in the end just from straight accumulation. So I have Usyk winning in fairly impressive fashion.
Man, y'all already know how I feel about the Ukraine boys, man. I don't know what to say, man. It's gonna be a one-sided fight. I don't see anything else but it being one-sided. Usyk is way too skilled for that. I mean, the one punch, Usyk just came out of the tourney. He beat all the power stuff. Like, we talking about Usyk fighting Anthony Joshua and going up the heavyweight at this point. This fight is going to be nice to watch this Saturday. It's going to be a nice highlights. But I don't see this being competitive at all. I see Usyk winning, like, clearly.
Yeah.
Like 118-110. And that's what I see. I see Bellew getting a couple rounds, but that's it.
And I gotta echo that sentiment, news, man. Like, I'm excited for the fight, but I think the outcome is gonna be a pretty I don't think he's gonna beat the hell out of Bellew. Now, I don't think he's gonna beat him now, but I just think it's gonna be a clinical performance. You know what I'm saying? Right. Where, like, about round eight, we just like, all right, well, can this shit hurry the fuck up and get over with? Kind of like how it was.
Right.
I ain't exactly gonna say to the effect of what he did to Gassiev, because I think obviously he's more skilled than Gassiev, but like,
hey, Gassiev was supposed to be the way bigger puncher.
Right, hell, I picked him. A lot of us did, except I think he was
did.
Right. Well, yeah. Few of them. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did too.
I did.
But yeah, I just think right, yeah. Hey, man, what did I say? I ain't about to fucking, I'm with you, bro. I ain't picking against them until they start losing. Well,
I
ain't doing that shit, man. Just like I said, when Stevenson and Vostick fight next month, I'm going with him. Fuck it. I'm letting that shit know right now. That's a fade out episode, would that be 19 or something? You already got my damn prediction already, but. But yeah, I'm actually just interested in seeing, in a sense, too, what, let's say Tony do pull the upset. Like, will he continue to fight at cruiserweight, or will he go to heavyweight, or would he retire? I'm interested.
I mean, he's retiring. I mean, he's been talking about retiring, trying this and retiring that, you know. And if he beats Usyk, I mean, it would probably be the wrong time financially for him, because he'd have offers. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's well off. But
man, I go get knocked out by Anthony Joshua if I was him. Fuck that.
I was just gonna say.
I'm getting knocked the fuck out.
Bayou's already been on record saying he's never going to fight Anthony Johnson because I think they're friends. However, he's been calling out Tyson Fury of all people, you know, and
Nah, he already said Wilder was too big for him. He said when they at the Joshua fight, he said when he stood next to him, that's when he realized, nah.
He would get stretched though real quick.
Yeah, no, I mean Bellew's a better boxer than Wilder, but he's not gonna be able to take his right hand. He's gonna get laid out.
What is up with all this? Oh, we're friends, we can't box.
Right. Oh,
we grew up in the same state, we can't box. Ooh, when we were 13, we boxed each other and our dads know each other. We can't box. Like, what is right. this shit?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, go ahead, P.
No, I was just going to say, the only time I accept that we can't box each other is if two brothers.
That's yeah, like literal brothers.
Or half brothers. They have the same mom. Stepbrothers right. even, you know.
Like, this is business. Like, why are you like, oh, well, we can't fight each other because we're friends? Because that doesn't matter. Look at Keith Thurman and Sean Porter. They're friends outside of the ring, and they fought each other, and they might fight each other again. I'm not with that. Oh, like, and I'm not trying to rag on your boy, dude, because that's your boy. But I don't like that when Adrian Broner was all that. Oh, I'm not gonna fight Lamont Peterson. That's big bro. Oh, I'm not gonna fight Devin Alexander. That's big bro. Like, I'm not with all that. Sorry.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like, I mean, if y'all in the same camp or y'all play with this, I mean, have the same trainers and stuff like that, and it's not necessary, you don't have to do it. I mean, I can understand it if it's like a championship on the belt, a championship belt on the line.
Championship, I can
you
get
know what
it.
I mean? But yeah, just to do it, I'm going to just fight my homie just because. Like, when there's so many other people to fight, I don't know. I wouldn't fight a partner in my camp that we training side by side every day, and I'm going to fight him just because. We fight him for the top.
News. Would you fight me for like $8 million?
I wouldn't fight. I would fight you for the WBC championship. I wouldn't fight you for a regional title.
What about the WBO?
Yeah, as long as the world, as long as it's the world championship. We ain't doing regionals.
So we're all in agreement that we see Alexander Usyk winning. So, like, with that being said, I know he might be jumping the gun, but what's next for him then? Like, does he move up? Like, does he wait for the champion of this upcoming cruiserweight tournament? Like, what y'all think is next?
Honestly, and I know this is kind of crazy that I'm comparing this, that I'm going to make this comparison, but I honestly think Usyk may be the Roy Jones of his division. I'm not sure there's anybody that can beat him at cruiserweight. If he loses, it's because he goes up in them. That's a bold comparison, but the more I look at it, the more I think he might be the guy, like the guy of that division. Like, that nobody can, like, you know, there's that one fighter where you pick him over anybody in that division, over anybody right now. That would be Usyk. So he might have to hit. To challenge himself, he might have to go to heavyweight, which would not be a good decision, but that might be the only way you ever see him take it out. He might go for the big money fight.
I mean, ain't Usyk a cruiserweight? Ain't the only division above cruiserweight heavyweight?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that, I feel just like you, P, and I felt like that from the beginning of the tourney, which is why I always picked him, because it's like, the dude is way too skilled. He's way too skilled. I feel like he's, of course, the conversation is going to come up. Is cruiserweight bad? That bad? Or is he that good? That's going to be the conversation. When you had that type of skill level, that's what's going to happen to the field. Remember how, because we're talking this Roy Jones type of dominance, where Roy Jones made everybody look like nobody. If Usyk is doing this, so everybody, like, are the losers bad, or
Usyk has not been doing that to everybody? That's the thing, though. I mean, Usyk has had some close fights, especially the greatest fight, because I thought he lost that fight.
Oh, no.
Nah.
I
had him losing by one. Bredis nearly pulled off the upset. I mean, those scores were close.
Well, yeah, they were. It was.
That fight was stupid close, and that was a surprise to me. So, I mean, Usyk, even before the tournament, like, Usyk was a question mark. I mean, I know Smoke, too. You didn't like watching Usyk prior to going to the tournament. I know. I remember it was hate.
To be fair, that was mostly hate.
You know, but Usyk, yeah, I mean, right now, Usyk is probably, and he's peaking right now. And I feel that after this baby fight, I mean, he may actually drop all the belts, because I already know that one of the current cruiserweight matches right now, that's for Saturday too, is for an interim WBO cruiserweight belt. So, I mean, I think the plan's already set in motion just in case he starts dropping all those belts. And I think that's, he's going to go to heavyweight. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to be thrown to Anthony Joshua right away, because that would be kind of stupid.
Right.
He's going to acclimate. He's probably going to get a couple heavyweight jobbers on his, you know, get a one or two of them before going after Joshua, because, you know, you gotta get your feet wet first, because these niggas is monsters.
Joshua would probably fight Usyk before Wilder.
I wouldn't even mind that.
I wouldn't mind that because I'd
like to see if Usyk could beat Joshua. That's a great test and talent. I mean, a great test and skill.
I don't think that Usyk's style is conducive to winning heavyweight fights, but it might be the only, because what else is left for him at cruiserweight?
Right.
There's nobody left for him at cruiserweight. The only person that I could have, and that's not on the table anymore, of course, for obvious reasons, but the only person that I could have seen him staying at cruiserweight for to have a big fight with would have been if Andre Ward didn't retire. Because I know he would have moved to cruiserweight, and we could have
see that happening.
I mean, unless Ward comes out of retirement, but I'm not going to try to do all that prediction stuff. I'm not going to try to assume that. So as of now, he's retired, so I'm just going to assume he stays retired until otherwise.
What, y'all don't want to see Usyk and Lawrence Okoli?
Man, I mean, Usyk, there are cruiserweights, but just in terms of now, I mean, Usyk's been talking that heavyweight talk for a long time. If he wants to go to heavyweight, I mean, it's not if he's saying, oh, you know, I'm going to stay at cruiserweight. I mean, he's being all the top fighters or whatever. I mean, I wouldn't mind him going to heavyweight, but I mean, if he stays, he stays. But he's been talking about the heavyweight shit for a long time. So, right. And I feel like Bayu's pretty much like the last real remaining cruiserweight, unless he wants to face fucking Lebedev, who I don't really care to see either. You know, it's let him go to heavyweight and see if he's, you know, if he, you know, becomes like a David Haye in terms of, you know, he can adjust, or it becomes a Vasily Jirov and, you know, struggle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was a good point right there.
Yeah.
I forgot about Vasily Jirov when he went up to heavyweight.
Great cruiserweight. He was brutal too. When he went to heavyweight, he was like, I mean, except for the Joe Macy fight, he was average. He wasn't really that impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point to bring up.
Tony put hands on him.
Yeah, but that's James Tony. That's James Tony at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, it's James Tony that nobody thought would be that good at the higher weights. But
I mean, that's like saying that was Jordan at 40. I mean, I didn't expect him to put 50 on me. But he still did it. I mean, that's still James Toney was in the ring with. He turned back the hands of time that night against Vasily Jirov. That was a great fight.
Yeah, it was a
classic. It really was.
Yeah, before I go to sleep.
Yeah, classic fight.
You know, recently, this past week, was it last few days, Swift Heard, after he fights, I forgot the cat, the tune-up he got. What's the cat he fighting?
Jason Wellborn.
Yeah. Something with a W.
Right. He's announced that he's going to be ringside for the Charlo Harrison fight, hoping that he gets a call out from, obviously, presumably Charlo. Y'all like the move? Y'all think is it necessary? Do y'all think they would fight next? So y'all think it's going to be more pander, more, as Pat will say, PVC grandstanding before they even fight? So, like, y'all get, you know, you're just give me your general thoughts on that, man.
Man, if it happens, it happens. Like I said, I don't, you know, the matchmaking, I don't trust it until I see it.
They rock to the ring.
Yeah.
But we're gonna see him go through this fight first, see how his shoulder is, because he's just coming off shoulder surgery. Let him see how this tune-up fight goes, test out the shoulder, and then from there, we'll take it from there. But I do hope he shows up, because yours truly will be in the building, and yay. I want to see what happens. I want to see if there's fuckery afoot. I'm always for the fuckers, boxing fuckers.
I definitely want to see Jared Hurd at ringside for this Jermell Charlo fight. They going back and forth on Twitter. You know what I mean? This is a fight we want to see. This is a unification fight that could happen at junior middleweight. Jermell Charlo, Tony Harrison's. This is gonna be another one of those fights where it's like hard to gauge Jermell Charlo out there for me,
bro.
Because Tony Harrison is not a bad fighter at all.
He can make you look ugly. It's, right.
Tony Harrison, the problem with Tony Harrison is his chin, unfortunately.
And his stamina.
I was just going to say.
The stamina always leads to his chin.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good fighter.
I think Harrison's going to give him trouble, like, in the first,
fight. Yeah, it's like, so I don't, I know Hurd said that he was, I know Swift said that he was going to go there and compare his fight to Jermell Charlo's. Before that fight, I'm gonna definitely watch Hurd versus Harrison to rewatch it to see how it was, and then compare it to Jermell Charlo's myself, so I can see what it looked like.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's like Iron Man is just fighting Black Swift's old opponents. I mean, it's not like that. That's what's happening. I hope them dudes duel up. I mean, let's be real about it. They've been Swift been champ for how long?
He's been champ since what, 2016, 2017? A champ, a portion of a champion since 2016, right?
Yeah, I mean, he unified.
He won Laura's belt and he won the vacant belt from
a vacant, right?
Yeah. So then he fucked up his shoulder, so he's out. So you figure that he gets like one, two tune-ups. And then them dudes should be throwing hands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no more, no less.
Yeah, definitely by like summer 2019 at least. There should be some unification shit going on.
Hopefully spring.
Mm-hmm. No 2021, baby.
What you doing?
You know, if they keep their belts, if they make sure that they do.
You know what's crazy though? When we say like unifications, we got to blame Golden Boy in this too. Because we all know. That not putting Munguia in the ring.
They're
not going to do that.
They're going to put him in with Canelo.
They're not going to put him in with Charlo either. So there's going to be no unification happening that way with Golden Boy. Munguia is way too green for either one of them.
Yeah, he would get.
He would get battered
by the other Charlo or exactly. Either. Yeah, his defense is terrible. That shit
but with Munguia though, the thing is he's like Hurd. This motherfucker fights that he goes up.
Yeah, they're cruiserweight in that bitch. Don't get me wrong.
Right, but Charlo ain't small either.
But right. The thing is, like, we have to see someone really try. Like, so far, no one has. I mean, Liam Smith, you know, man, take a step back here and there and there, but he couldn't hurt him, you know. And but he did expose that he's probably a little green. Munguia is only going to get more dangerous. I mean, you see it with her too. Like, you know, her was getting outboxed a lot. I mean, back his boxing skill is still not really where it needs to be, but his size bails him out. You know, and that's where Munguia is too. I mean, but the more fights he has, and Munguia is stupid active. Like, the more fights he has, he's going to get better. He's going to get more dangerous.
Right, but that's what I mean. Down the line, though, that's what I mean. So it's not going to be any unifications like right now, because Munguia is too green right now to fight Jermell. Would you feel comfortable with Jimmy Munguia, Jaime Munguia's chances versus Jermell Charlo right now, like in 2019?
Hell no. I think Jermell Charlo. No. Hell no.
Like, does anybody think Smoke Pat? Do you think, like,
I mean,
2019? Would you?
No.
What do you think his chances were?
I mean, he would have a puncher's chance.
I mean, I don't think McGill would give Charles a hell of a time though, because like I say, he's big. He's a big motherfucker though. But he can't. But I would think they would box him. But I'm not gonna think he's gonna walk. You know, Charles are gonna
I just think it's because of the damn Saddam Ali fight. Like, exactly. Had that never happened.
About to say.
If he went right to the Smith fight and had no Saddam Ali fight, we it would be unanimous that he not ready. It's just the fact that he pulverized Ali.
Right.
He's not ready.
No.
He needs to fight some legit ranked dudes, but he's not like in a completely different world.
Yeah, they're gonna keep him away from Hurd and and keep away from Swift and Charlo. So the only unification we're going to be able to get is Swift versus Charlo.
But
one thing with McGee though, I think he only has one more fight left on his Golden Boy deal. That's the thing.
Man, he always keep his ass right with Golden Boy.
You think
he's
going to leave Golden Boy with Canelo? Shit, that opportunity to fight on the zone with that big contract?
Stop
at five.
Come on, Pat. You the one that you tell us about the zone. I can't believe a Mexican fighter's going to go PBC on purpose.
That's
what they're actually reporting, that he's actually going to, he might leave after, you know, he might leave to go Showtime. I don't think it's smart, but that's what they're saying.
I think they need to check the IP address from where that email came from. It might have came from out of Showtime or something.
Yo, line pads on a different level.
Mexican Independence Day, Cinco de Mayo, Canelo, theories. Golden Boy.
Because Golden Boy is only—it's a joint promotion. He's not signed to Golden Boy. That's the thing.
But I don't know, man. That's like we have to see, Pat, but I just don't see it at this time, man. I just can't.
What, he gonna sign away from Golden Boy?
You go to PBC. Julio Cesar Chavez went to PBC, so you know.
I mean, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. hates Oscar though.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Because that shit is personal.
Man, now before we wrap up the fade hour, man, we had an interesting topic brought up today. It's kind of a consensus that Floyd is the best fighter since the mid-2000s up until now. But the question was, who do we all think is the second and the third and fourth best fighters? The names that was most discussed was obviously Vladimir Klitschko, Andre Ward, and Manny Pacquiao. So we were talking about it earlier amongst ourselves, and the order got kind of jumbled, and we wanted to finish that conversation on the air with y'all. So I'm gonna go ahead and go to news first and kind of see who he has two through four, or maybe five, you know. So go ahead, news. And no, actually, go ahead, everybody. Shit, whoever want to jump in, it's a Warrior Rumble style, man. This ain't no holding hands shit. This ain't no kumbaya. So we kind of see how we feel about it.
Right. Let me see. Floyd, we ain't using him. We got Ward, we got Vlad, we got Pac. Resume wise, I'm going to go with Pacquiao.
Yeah, resume wise. Eyes is Ward. Durability is Vlad.
And dominance, I'm going with Vlad. However, I don't think Vlad was the best fighter. He was just the most dominant because I thought the heavyweight was weaker.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
But I always thought that Vlad's brother would have beat him.
Vitaly would have, yeah.
That's why I knocked points off of Vlad, because he didn't fight his brother, who was that knocked the points off.
We kind of touched on this the other day. It's gotta be fucked up for you to fight your brother, though.
No, I know it is.
Right. But we're saying since it never can happen, you know, since we know it wasn't gonna happen, we gotta ding you for it, you know.
Yeah,
because that's kind of.
I'm not taking the points with you fighting your brother. This boxing, man, one blow, you can kill your brother, especially at heavyweight. So I can't take away points for that. But as far like he fought everybody else that you could fight. I mean, the thing about Vlad itself, though, is, again, we really don't know how good he was, because
he got jaded because
the heavyweight
division wasn't hot.
Right, yeah, the division wasn't hot. And I've seen him get knocked out twice in his prime.
Could, even, you know, factor in even, you know, a few losses that he had, could you make an argument that Pac had the best resume out of the four?
Out of all four of them?
Right. No.
I'm saying, even I'm not even talking about wins or losses. I'm just talking about fighting who you fought in general.
Just fighting who you're fighting, the names alone, not even.
Right. At the time he fought them. Not now looking back on them. At going into the fight, could you make an argument that he probably fought overall better comp over the last, since the mid 2005, 2003 until now?
I had to think about that. Because
the problem is just there's just so many black marks around who he fought, when he fought, and the restrictions and all of that.
Catch weights.
Getting knocked out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, see, Pacquiao kind of like doubled and tripled up. Like, so his resume is packed full of names.
Marquez.
Like, fights right. But then he fights Marquez like four times. Then he fights Morales like, what? Three times?
Twice. Three and Barrera twice.
He fought Morales three times. Like, he fights him a lot of times. And, I mean, he has a great resume when it comes to names. Out of all the names, I mean, Vlad is not even in the discussion. Ward, he's not in the discussion either. When it comes to the names, you know, it's just that's definitely between Floyd and Pac. And asking that, do I think Floyd fought better opposition than Pacquiao did? I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna say Pacquiao fought the better names.
I'm gonna agree. I'm 100% agree.
But they fought a lot of the same names. A lot of the guys that Pacquiao fought, Mayweather.
Yeah, yes. Mayweather fought De La Hoya first, but Pacquiao fought Cotto first, right?
Right.
Yeah, De La Hoya is better.
And Hatton too. I forgot about Ricky Hatton.
I mean, yeah. But then again, also at the same time, let's talk about the guys that they fought. I'm sorry, that they didn't fight. They both of them didn't fight. Pacquiao's favor, he fought Marco Antonio Barrera, right? And in Pacquiao's favor, he also fought Timothy Bradley, right? He also fought Timothy Bradley. And on Floyd's side, he fought Diego Corrales, right? He fought Canelo. So
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of a top dog name
that he didn't fight. He fought Diego Corrales. He fought Corrales, right? So that's like, I'm giving him Corrales, I'm giving him Canelo, and I'm giving him
Berto.
Nah.
Shame on you, dude. Shame on you. Shame on you, dude, because you named the people that Pacquiao fought that Mayweather fought, but you didn't throw Mr. This person,
Zab Judah.
You didn't even mention your boy, the Tijuana Tornado.
Yeah, the Tijuana Tornado. Because I'm trying to name the Elite Fighter, but you're right. He fought Marks.
Marks was washed.
I mean,
Marks
got washed by Pacquiao. That's what happened.
That's
what stopped the Tornado. It was I don't know, that's a great question though. Floyd might got that too though. That is just
it's close.
Floyd might got that damn, what Floyd don't win?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, so we excluding Floyd from the rest of the conversation. We going with the field for now on.
The thing is, the only reason why I think we all would say Vlad is number two because he went unblemished during that time frame. But our eye test would probably put him four, and being honest, probably would put him behind Ward if we factor in everything, level of competition too.
Yeah,
right. It was the dominant. It was the reign that he had.
Right.
He had at the top of the heavyweight division.
Right.
That's why.
I would put him. It is tough, man, because I can't really overlook Pacquiao, but he took some L's throughout that shit, and he had some close scratch. He had some close calls too. Vlad was just smoking him, and same with Ward. Ward only had legitimately one close call in his career. When you use the eye test, not that whole Carl Froch bullshit when they tried to bullshit that shit in there. But
he punished Carl Froch,
exactly. Yeah, I saw that shit that he killed Froch. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But not on the judge's card. But yeah, outside of the first Kovalev fight, everything else do look like he was sparring in there by his damn self, so
untouchable cuts.
Weird to see. So let me see. So
what's your definite order, News?
Oh, my definite order is Floyd number one. So the question is, it depends on like question. So let's break it down to the three, like in the three things. Let's break it down into resume wise. Then let's break it down to
dominance, resume,
and then eye test, right? That's the three things we're gonna go with. So we go with resume. I have Floyd being number one. I have Manny Pacquiao number two. I have Andre Ward number three, and I have Vlad fourth.
And I probably have that same list. Add me to that.
I would probably flip Floyd and Pacquiao, though. You can make an argument.
Resume. See, for me, for the resume, I got to include if you won or lost, because at the end of the day, if we're not going to include that, then Amir Khan got the best resume.
Right, you're right. Then it's a Pandora's box. So, I with that being said,
Austin Trout.
And then we go dominance.
I mean, let's just go straight up overall.
I mean, that's the third one.
Dominance might be.
Overall is the third one.
Dominance might be where you could get an argument.
Yeah, because that is a tough argument, because Floyd was dominant the entire time.
Right.
So I got him number one. But I got Ward number two as far as dominance. And the reason why I got Ward number two is because Ward never lost. Floyd and Vlad have both lost.
Oh, yeah. Fury. We can't forget the Fury loss. Right.
I can't forget that you lost during this time period. So I can't.
And who's a close fight to Fury? He just got kind of embarrassed. He got neutralized against Fury.
Pacquiao ended up taking a power nap versus Juan Manuel Marquez.
I'm half said power now, like he was a child.
he took one of those naps when you're at work and you only had like 4 hours of lunch last night. Right. You had a heavy lunch. You already looking at the clock, like, damn, it's still only 1:17. You sleepy? That's the type of nap that Marquez gave to Pacquiao.
See, the thing I'm debating, bro, and then Pacquiao, my bad, go ahead, P. I'm trying to go back and forth between Pacquiao and Ward when it comes to resume, when you take their highs and their lows.
Right.
That Pacquiao has higher highs, but he also has lower lows when it comes to peaks and valleys. That he fought, like, you look at like the top names that he beat are higher than the top names that Ward beat as a collective, but then you look that Ward hasn't lost and that Pacquiao has lost to some of those guys. So I'm flip-flopping between it. It's like, at what point does the wins outweigh the losses between not getting lost and
Pete, let me ask you this, how much value do you put? Do you look at it, how I was asking earlier, do you look at it, P, as in how we look at the fighters they fought now, you know, as their career over with, or do you look at them going into the fight? Like,
well,
do you look at Ward against Chad Johnson, Dawson now, or how Chad Dawson was going into the Ward fight?
Oh, Joe, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I going into the fight.
Right. So going into the fight,
I'm gonna say this.
But then people will say, "Oh," but then see, that's the problem that kind of works against it as well. Because then people will say, like, how with Pacquiao you have the asterisk with Chad Dawson is, "Oh, well, he came down from
right
like heavyweight, super middleweight, and was drained and all that." So then it becomes, you know, what wins matter more than what wins. Oh, there's a win, but there's an asterisk to it. So then it gets a little tricky how much you value those because of the situation.
Well, for me, I have it that, especially for the Chad Dawson fight, I never took anything away from Andre Ward because Chad Dawson suggested that he himself will move down to fight Andre Ward.
Ain't nobody tell you has to do that.
He said that he was good enough to beat Andre Ward at his weight class. So he did all that and he couldn't beat him. He actually quit versus Andre Ward. So I never hold that against Andre Ward. That was Chad Dawson's doing.
Really makes a difference. Are you judging them going into the fight or what we know now? Because
right.
If you look at them overall, what we know now, you have to give it to Manny. Because Manny's, if you look at the list of like Manny's wins and the guys that he beat, and you look at their career overall in retrospect,
right,
that's a hell of a resume.
Yep.
But you look at Ward, and yeah, if guys don't have the resume of the guys that Manny beat, but going into the fight,
yep,
the guys that were better than the ones that Manny beat going into the fight.
Yep.
Right, because it's kind of like saying after they fought him, they got exposed.
Yep, because Kovalev came into that fight number two in the world, number two
and
pound
now
for
look
pound,
at him.
Lost, and Chad Dawson came into the ring as number 3 pound for pound in the world and lost. It's just he doesn't have that fleshed out resume like Pacquiao has, which, and that's what hurts Andre Ward in the discussion because of his inactivity due to being out of the ring for the time, but he don't have 45-50 fights. He only has 32.
He don't have the Stevenson, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He couldn't get the lineal off Stevenson.
He just didn't fight enough.
Right.
Like, I mean, literally, it's just in this day and age, he only has 32 fights.
Right, because he couldn't get to DeGale at 168 because he had, you know, like we all know, he had the promotional issues and yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah,
he couldn't get the Golovkin, you know.
Right. He would have took that out quickly.
Yeah, so I got it just straight up and down, no diving into it. Floyd, Ward, Manny, Klitschko, and that list is fluid, but it's also semi-concrete pause because I think Ward, like we were talking about, he had high highs and he never really had low lows, and he also fought like top-notch competition. And Manny had, you know, fucking probably some of the highest of the highs, but he also, I mean, no one got Marquez like he did.
Thanks for y'all sitting through us talking about Usyk and Belu, you know, how we rank the top four fighters of the mid-2000s, also about Charlo and Herd, how Herd want to pull up ringside and see if he get that call out, and you know, Charlo kind of spoke on it a little bit, but, you know, that's, y'all can go see it. Y'all can go check out the pages. We won't get more into it. But yeah, I'm going to kick it around the room, see if any of my homeboys, my brothers got final thoughts or want to let you know how you can follow them on social media and where you can check out Ringside Rave at on social media.
Yeah, man. Like I told y'all, by the end of the show, I was going to be feeling good, man. I'm feeling extra turnt. It's your boy, New Gelato, got me extra back. I'm turnt up. Follow me at Ringside Rave. We also got Podomatic, iTunes. We got the Google Play for you if you want to listen to that. You can, or definitely keep watching this on YouTube. But, hey, thank you. We appreciate the support, the love. We just hit 10,000 followers on IG. We got 1,600.
Hey.
That's what's up. But we got 10,000 on IG, so that's amazing. So I like to thank everybody, all you ravers out there that support Ringside Rave. We definitely appreciate that. And then just stay tuned, man, because 2019 will even be even better.
Yeah. I mean, it's your boy, Smoke, at Free Smoke Boxing. I just want to echo the sentiments of my boy News. 2019 is going to be even better, but find me on IG, Twitter at Free Smoke Box.
And this is your boy T. And follow me at Bodega Boxing on Instagram and Twitter.
Bet, man. Again, shout out to our boy out there, International Rez, man. He wasn't able to join the cast, but you can follow him too. Reservoir Dogs, I believe 93. Yeah, Reservoir Dogs 93 is his Twitter handle.
Make sure y'all check us out again. We appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of Ringside Rave, the Favorite Hour, episode 13. We'll be back next week, like we never left, with episode 14. Y'all stay tuned, man. We out.
All right, we out. Peace.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening to Ringside Rave. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.